he could find on the subject. Even here, though, I could not escape the shadow of Noboru Wataya. That day it emerged from the pages of a book on logistical problems. Published in 1978, the library copy had been borrowed only once before, when the book was new and returned almost immediately. Perhaps only acquaintances of Lieutenant Mamiya were interested in logistical problems in Manchukuo. As early as 1920, according to the author, Japan's Imperial Army was looking into the possibility of amassing a huge stock of winter survival gear in anticipation of all-out war with the Soviets. Equipping the army to fight in bitter cold was viewed as an urgent matter because they lacked the experience of having fought a real battle anywhere with such extreme winter cold as Siberia. If a border dispute led to a sudden declaration of war against the Soviet Union, which was by no means out of the question in those days, the army would be unprepared for a winter campaign. For this reason, a research team was established within the General Staff Office to prepare to fight a hypothetical war with the Soviet Union. The logistics section being charged with investigating the procurement of special winter clothing. In order to grasp what real cold was like, they went to the far northern island of Sakhalin, long a point of dispute with Tsarist Russia, and then the Soviet Union, and used an actual fighting unit to test insulated boots and coats and underwear. They ran thorough tests on equipment then in use by the Soviet Army, and on the kind of clothing that Napoleon's army had used in its Russian campaign, reaching the conclusion that it would be impossible for the Japanese army to survive a winter in Siberia with its present equipment. They estimated that some two-thirds of the foot soldiers on the front lines would be put out of commission by frostbite. The army's current survival gear had been manufactured with the gentler northern China winters in mind, and in addition, there were too few kits to go around. The research team calculated the number of sheep necessary to manufacture sufficient effective winter clothing to outfit 10 divisions, the joke making the rounds of the team then being that they were too busy counting sheep to sleep, and they submitted this in their report along with estimates of the mechanical equipment that would be needed to process the wool. The number of sheep on the Japanese home islands was insufficient for fighting an extended war in the northern territories against the Soviet army in the event of economic sanctions or blockade against Japan, and thus it was imperative that Japan secure both a stable supply of wool and of rabbit and other pelts in the Manchuria-Mongolia region and the mechanical equipment for processing it, said the report. The man dispatched to make on-the-spot observations in Manchukuo in 1932, immediately after the founding of the puppet regime there, was a young technocrat, newly graduated from the military staff college, with a degree in logistics. His name was Yoshitaka Wataya. Yoshitaka Wataya, this could only have been Noboru's uncle. There weren't that many Watayas in the world, and the name Yoshitaka was the clincher. His mission was to calculate the time that would be needed before stable supplies of wool could be secured in Manchukuo. Yoshitaka Wataya seized upon this problem of cold weather clothing as a model case for modern logistics and carried out an exhaustive numerical analysis. When he was in Mukden, Yoshitaka Wataya sought an introduction to and spent the entire night drinking and talking with Lieutenant General Kanji Ishiwara. Kanji Ishiwara. Another name I knew well. Noboru Wataya's uncle had been in touch with Kanji Ishiwara, the ringleader the year before of the staged Chinese attack on Japanese troops, known as the Manchurian Incident, the event that had enabled Japan to turn Manchuria into Manchukuo, and that later would prove to have been the first aggressive act in 15 years of war. Ishiwara had toured the continent and become convinced not only that all-out war with the Soviet Union was inevitable, but that the key to winning that war lay in strengthening Japan's logistical position by rapidly industrializing the new empire of Manchukuo and establishing a self-sufficient economy. He presented his case to Yoshitaka Wataya with eloquence and passion. He argued, too, for the importance of bringing farmers from Japan to systematize Manchukuo's farming and cattle industries and to increase their efficiency. Ishiwara was of the opinion that Japan should not turn Manchukuo into another undisguised Japanese colony, such as Korea